Welcome to Talk World Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people matter. I'm David Swanson.
This week on Talk World Radio, we are talking about countries around the world investing in U.S. investment in wars. We have three guests joining us from Mauritius. Nausheen Uteen is a certified project manager and accountant. Zainab Kodobakus is a chemical and renewable energy engineer. And Adil Abubakar is a chartered financial analyst and managing founder of a consultancy firm focused on financial modeling and business valuation. Welcome, everyone, to Talk World Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us, David.
Thank you.
So I don't know who wants to start, but how do other countries or other governments fund U.S. war making?
All right. If you allow me, let me just drop in a quick introduction. Firstly, David, thank you for having us. We really appreciate it. Now, we've been talking about this for months since December 2023. And what we'll talk about is very obvious in a sense, but at the same time, we've scarcely seen anyone raise the subject. And I'd like to clarify for the audience that what we're sharing here are our personal views and also personal actions. And our aim is to raise awareness, it's actually duty. And at the same time, we find it very perplexing that generally it seems we have little control over how our money is invested, and or we live under that impression, and we kind of have accepted it when it should not be the case. And today we're going to talk about US treasuries, which are actually the safest investments in the world. And so I'll jump right into the topic. And we've written about it, we've posted videos about it on social media, we've talked extensively about it. And so we're just highlighting what we're calling a big disconnect. Now, US treasuries, people could be very familiar with it, we've actually discussed this topic with audience across the spectrum, from people who did not know what they are to people who actually know what US treasuries are and actually deal in them. And just to get everyone at par, it's one of the safest investments in the world. It's simply the sovereign bond or bills and notes issued by the US federal government. And I say federal to highlight the fact that it's at federal level that these bonds are issued. And they're also very liquid, highly marketable, highly tradable. And so you'll find banks, central banks, and insurance companies, pension funds, fund managers, also other asset managers who invest heavily in US treasuries. Now, it's one of the most common investments you can have. But at the same time, it actually serves a very important part of the fiscal management of the US government. And when we look at the what we call the fiscal deficit, so taxation or other government revenues being short of the expenditures of the US government, the remainder is actually funded by debt. And it's very common. I mean, I think most people would be familiar with that. Now, the US government has actually access to the debt market quite easily. And being the safest investments in the world, not just US-based investors, but also investors all over the world purchase US treasuries. And since December 2023, we've started looking at the data, which is publicly available. Everything we talk about here is actually based on data, which is accessible to anyone. And we started looking at how the US government was using these funds. And obviously, to fill that budget, part funded by taxation and part funded by debt, we look at how the spending is done. And you go on the official government website and you see different expenditure lines, healthcare, other infrastructures, other programs, but also including defense and military and assistance to foreign countries, right, including other friendly countries who are plausibly committing genocide. Now, at the same time, we hear the American taxpayers complaining that their funds are being misused, and but there's a silence, a very perplexing silence from the debt side, because from the latest figure, from the first semester, so ending March 2024, the first semester, the total expenditures by the US government was funded 67% by revenue generated by that government. And the remainder was funded by debt. And debt not only from the US, but debt from around the world, right? And when we look at October to December 2023, that was the first fiscal quarter of 2024, we wanted to know, well, how much US treasuries were purchased by the rest of the world, because it's a data that we wanted to understand. And we started plotting some charts and plotting some graphs and looking at some trends. And actually, in those, take it up to February 2024, because we have data for them. So from October 2023 to February 2024, $361 billion of US treasuries were bought by the rest of the world, by non-US holders. Now, everything is, I mean, at this point in time, nothing sounds too, too shocking. But when we look at October, that period when the war in Gaza, or the assault on the civilian population in Gaza, started early October, and in that very month, the UN held a ceasefire resolution, the first one, ES10/21, where 121 countries voted for ceasefire. And out of these 121 countries, 36 countries actually not only hold US treasuries, but they purchase US treasuries in those 5 months, or let's focus on the 3 months. So October, November, December, they bought a total of, I will give you the right figure so I don't actually mislead anyone. So ceasefire countries.
I wonder, so in that 3 months, we could let Zainab or Nashin get a word in here as well and discuss, what are we talking about, foreign governments or individuals and businesses in foreign countries? Who is it that's loaning all of this money to the United States, and why are they doing it?
Absolutely.
Okay, let me jump in. So, David, in previous contracts, U.S. paid for the wars as part of its defense budget, mainly through a mixture of higher taxes and budget costs. But now we are in an era of free-flowing international capital market. We could see the trend has changed. Instead of raising taxes, the U.S. is borrowing more from the rest of the world. Why? Because it's easy to borrow a large amount of money without negatively affecting the cost of capital. So what we have seen, what we have observed since the conflict started in Gaza, we have seen an increase in the issuance of US treasuries. The figures I have, correct me if I'm wrong, Adil, the 36 countries actually purchased $144 billion USD during that period. So this clearly shows the link between the issuance of US treasuries and what's happening in Gaza. Because if we look at the US government capacity to raise funds internally, it's not enough. It's running out of deficit. So how then the war is being funded? Because we all know waging war is costly. You can deplete your resources, but at the end of the day, you need money. So where is the government getting that money? Through publicly available data, we could see that it's being funded through the issuance of US treasuries. So that's the link we would like to highlight. And now to answer your question, who invests in that US treasuries? So like I mentioned, it's a free-flowing international capital market. So it could be me, it could be Adil, it could be Zainab, investing in that US treasuries through our pension company or through our taxes. So this is why now we want to create that awareness, raising this concern so that all people like us who are calling with ceasefire We want their focus to be on the funding. We know money gives you power. And if you close it up, then we can control everything.
Zainab, it seems like there is growing awareness around the world and in the United States about divestment from Israel. Let's not give money to Israel for Israeli war yeah. crimes. But the same countries that are voting for a ceasefire in Israel are loaning piles of money to the U.S. government, and the Israeli government expects shiploads of free weapons from the U.S. government. And if they don't get them, they accuse U.S. politicians of loving Hamas. So why is there no boycott or divestment from the U.S. government, which is behind the Israeli war?
It's actually the question I ask myself, because, you know, for me, and I think for all of us here, awareness is the first step. It's actually when people are informed, they can come together to find solutions. And I think this is what World Beyond War is trying to do. The world, as you rightly mentioned today, has a problem with where money is going, the financial flows. We try to look at that. And it's part also of my expertise and you know, to look at socially responsible investing. So today, when Adil is talking about US Treasury and from what Nosheen said, it's about whoever can actually invest in those. But once we create awareness that US needs those countries, and as you rightly said, Israel is not stopping and cannot, it's not stopping the war. And in fact, if you try to stop or boycott your pro, you call it terrorists, I've got that, I think many of us did. But then if people are informed, we can try to find solutions. You know, today we call for accountability, we talk about supply chain transparency. And I think when we see the world, universities, the campus students, and all the protests coming together to call for boycott, for divestment, for sanctions, I think the idea behind is that we are aware of the frameworks. You know, there's the ILO conventions that our global leaders voted for. There's the UN guiding principles for businesses and human rights. I think we're looking at the right place, but it's just that there is a slowdown in terms of taking steps. And there must be a limiting factor, because today, these whole movements, the whole protest that we see, is probably because the very same standards that those countries set and the frameworks that they set to call for these war crimes, for these injustice. So I think while we can be called pro-Hamas or we cannot stop Israel, US cannot stop Israel today, but we have to keep talking about it. We have to keep supporting movements that are looking at the supply chain of those weapons manufacturers and try to stop that. Because as Nosheen rightly said, if you try to block that, you can actually limit the powers that we give to them to commit wars, and that we see in Gaza, in Sudan, in Rwanda. And we know the US is the main, the global weapon supplier, I mean, the main one. So we have to look at that. And that's where we'll keep spreading the message on this.
Adil, you told us several times that US treasuries are the safest investment in the world. It seems we ought to be telling people the opposite, although we don't want to lie to them. Can anything be done to make U.S. treasuries not be the safest investment in the world, or to dissuade governments and individuals from buying them, even if they are so safe and reliable? You're muted, so if you could unmute.
So there are two angles to that. The first angle being from a pure investment perspective, looking at the investment. So when somebody is investing in a sovereign bond or any bond for that matter, the first question is assessing the repayment capacity of the issuing entity. So from a pure investment perspective, this the first angle. The second angle is what these funds are being used for. And Part of these funds are being used to fund those very weapon manufacturers who are supplying weapons to Israel to commit that genocide. Now, understanding how these dollars got into the US treasuries is also very important. So you see, the American economy is a net importer, right? So by importing from other countries, they would actually, send dollars to other countries. So other countries would have a pile of USD to invest. So the top investors would be Japan, China, the UK, and these dollars are actually reinvested in US treasuries. Being liquid, they can also be collateralized, which means that they can be parked and they can lend against those investments, being the safe status. So being said, the USD is also the international reserve currency of the world. I mean, even countries in Africa, they would import or trade in USD. They wouldn't trade in their own currency. So they would have to have that reserve. So inherently, the global financial system is very reliant on the USD, but that does not mean that these USDs have to be invested at the federal level, knowing what they're funding. Now, back to the first level of questioning whether there's the risk involved in the repayment of this debt. So we've seen a ballooning debt of the US federal government. And we're not the only people pointing that out. Actually, the Government Accountability Office has also issued reports questioning the fiscal sustainability of that government, polarized Congress as well. There's perpetually a debate over the debt ceiling, and also that interest payment has now, interest servicing on US treasuries, the expenditure on repaying just the interest portion of that debt has exceeded the budget for the defense right now. So you ask yourself, the repayment capacity of the US government is actually decreasing. And we feel that people are not paying attention, and it's almost heretical for people to call US treasuries dangerous or risky investment. So these are the questions that we're pushing forth. And again, it's not only, there are governments, entities who are investing in them, but they're also the private sector. So if you hold a bank account, I mean, I hold a bank account in USD, and those USD are possibly being invested in US treasuries. But I disagree personally to be funding a government that is just financing those weapon manufacturers to be engaging in a war. I disagree with. So I'd like to say something very, very key as well here when it comes to, and I won't take too much of your time, because I really want Zainab to be talking about the actions that have been taken so far. But I'd like to make this point. See, we operate in democracy, so we vote. We when the time comes to vote for our parliamentaries or deputies, we cast our votes. But we vote every day with our money. My thinking is the capitalistic system is actually the largest democracy we live in. We vote with our money. So every time we purchase a good or a service, we are agreeing to the supplier of the good or the service. And it's the same thing when we place money at a bank or at a pension fund or at an asset manager, we are agreeing with the way that the manager is investing our money, the strategy or the investments that they are buying on our behalf. And if you think about it, those financial institutions, inherently their business model rely on the funds of the people. They don't have that quantum of proprietary funds. They're using your money and my money. Now, for a democracy to function, the assumption is that the voters are informed. If that's, I think, why there's a lot of emphasis on playing with information on how people get information so that they can influence the vote. But right. If we rely on the assumption that the capitalistic system is a democracy, so we vote with our money, we have to understand as well that the capital owners will only allocate capital to projects that earn them a return, to projects that produces goods and services for which there's demand. So
So there are a few reasons why capitalism is not very democratic, including most people don't have any money to invest, and those who do have it in very unequal measure, and they have no idea what they're investing in. And for the most part, there isn't anything good to invest in, just degrees of evil. But nonetheless, Zainab or Nosheen, is there a way for people who insist on investing money in something to invest it in something good and to avoid investing in governments? Because there are ways to avoid investing in fossil fuels and avoid investing in weapons companies. Why can't there be investment funds that avoid governments?
You know, as you speak about this, since 2015, we've actually deployed $6.9 trillion on high polluting industry. I think the call to action is very similar to this. And 2015 was the Paris Agreement, by the way, you're talking about fossil fuels, that's why I mentioned it. And that said, I think there are private equity funds that have principle for responsible investing. And there is also the UN UNEP, you know, UNEPFI principle for responsible banking as well, that set those kind of standards. It's just that if you're looking at, some people do look at where those are being invested, the money. You have investors now that are very much seeking ESG rating into where they want to their money to be going. And there are also lots, I think, exclusion list. But the thing is, there can be so many things out there. It's just about how do you actually enforce it? And that's the disconnect a bit in what we're seeing today, is that, yeah, there are so many things happening. There are so many standards, so many frameworks, so many due diligence processes. However, we're not looking at how we're killing people, how we're killing civilians, how we're violating human rights. And I think that's a big concern. And it doesn't really happen overnight. The whole point of, you know, spreading awareness is, you know, to have people start to realize that they have to look at where their money is going and start questioning, because people are actually accountable to, and they are accountable, the leaders are, but we are also accountable to where our money is going. But it's a long fight, David, and it's not going to stop here.
Nosheen, do you want to add anything? I'd love to know how we can get the word out to people who are interested in advancing divestment that the world should be divesting from the U.S. government and its war machine.
David, now we want people to be aware where the money is actually flowing to, especially all these people who are calling for ceasefire. Now that they have the information, they have many options. One option is, if they know that their pension money is being invested in U.S. treasuries and that fund is being used to fund the war, as the customers, they have full right to question this pension company, to ask to divest from U.S. treasuries and propose alternative. Of course, we know that there might be of investment that will net yield the same return as U.S. treasuries. But if you're genuinely concerned of what's happening, I believe that you will not really focus on the profit, but rather on the cause. So my message to all these people who are calling for ceasefire is that, first, do the first step yourself. Question your pension companies, question your government, question your banks, check your investment portfolios. If you see that your funds are flowing to the US treasuries, and now that you know it's also funding the war, as a client, you have the right to ask to divest. It's not only in national, it's not only government who should act, but as individual, if you collect individually, everyone make an effort, it's going to be a collective movement.
We have about 5 minutes left. I wonder what risks there are here, because when you divest from ExxonMobil or Lockheed Martin, typically nothing happens to you. But if a country divests from the United States,
there's all kinds of political dangers there. The United States has a lot of economic power and legal power in the United Nations and power to influence international courts. What sort of courage would be required for a country to say we are going to divest from the Pentagon?
Well, I'll interject quickly here. We are also, we're not entirely saying, maybe the Pentagon, the way you say it, definitely not keen on having funds channeled through weapons. But this said, we're not entirely calling to divest from the United States. We're not even calling to divest from the US dollar. There are multiple USD investments that an investor can make, not necessarily at the federal level, but municipal or state level, and also real assets. And but at the same time, I mean, our call is similar to the taxpayer. I mean, the taxpayer has to pay taxation. It's an obligation. If we need to invest in US treasuries because we need to keep USD reserves, fine. That's the way the global financial system is structured. So be it. But that does not preclude the right to the debt holders to be protesting about the debt dollars. So like the tax payers who protest about the debt, their tax dollars, we as creditors are protesting about our debt dollars. So the first level is this, and we're not entirely calling for a divestment, but we're saying, well, if you do not stop the funding of the genocide, we will find alternatives, and there are alternatives out there. So it's not blackmail, it's the duty of every creditor to make sure that they are aware of where their funds are being used and to use that as a leverage, simply said. And again, buying US treasuries is not an obligation, it's a discretion, so you can choose not to renew your US treasuries when it matures, or you can decide not to invest further in it and decide to invest in other USD investments, or even in the sovereign obligations denominated in USD of other countries, which are right now, there are countries which are better rated credit-wise than the United States.
And maybe killing fewer people as well. We will have links up to more information at talkworldradio.org. We have been speaking with Nosheen Uteen, Zeynab Kodobakus, and Adil Abubakar about the world's investment in the U.S. war machinery. Thank you very, very much to all of you for coming on Talk World Radio.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David, and keep up the good work.
You too. Thank you.
This is Talk World Radio. I'm David Swanson. Take action at rootsaction.org. Help end war at worldbeyondwar.org. Read or listen to today's Peace Almanac entry at peacealmanac.org. All past shows can be heard at talkworldradio.org. Talk World Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way.